If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. I was going to read some, and then we're going to go to Luke 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Everybody there? And the Word says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. And for such people, turn away. For of this sort of those who creep into houses and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we praise you. We honor you. Thank you, God, again for the opportunity. Father, to stand in this pulpit, Lord God, and speak to these wonderful people, Lord God. God, that you use me, Lord God, as a mouthpiece, God, for your glory. God, realizing that I am nothing, that you are everything, Lord God. Father, I pray as we start out this new year, Lord God, that we could get your message, Lord God. And Father, know what your word says to us, Lord God. And as I say every Sunday, not only hear your word, God, but do what it says and think about what it says and act on it, Lord. Father, I pray that you just go with us today and be with us, Lord, as we go through this scripture, Lord. And Father, just I pray that if there's one here who doesn't know you, Lord God, that they would make their way to you. God, I pray that if there's a Christian here, God, that just needs to rededicate their life at the beginning of this new year and start out fresh, Lord God, that they do that today, Lord. And we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. If you will, turn back now to Luke 12, verse 54, and that's where we'll be in a minute. I was reading a book at the house by Billy Graham, and there was an illustration that jumped out at me yesterday or this morning. I don't remember when I was reading it, but Billy Graham said there was an old sheep herder in New Zealand that lived way high in the mountain, and he lived in a log cabin, and he had a fiddle, and he said this fiddler, he called a violin, I called a fiddle, I don't know what the difference is, but and they play one different than the other. But he had this fiddle, and it was out of tune, and he had played it for years, and he lived by himself, and he was a sheep herder, and his old fiddle was out of tune, and he couldn't play the music that he once played, and his heart was burdening, so he got a hold to a trapper that come through, and he asked this trapper, he said, "The only way that communicates that I have is a radio." And he said, "If you would you go by this radio station and tell these people that on this certain date, at this certain time, if they would play the A tone where I could tune my fiddle back up?" And so the old trapper did, and he went to the town, and he talked to the radio people, and the radio people said, "You know, we're gonna do this." And so that day, at that certain time, this old trapper turned on his radio, and he heard that A tone, and he set his violin, and music came out of his cabin again. I say that to tell you this morning. A lot of us, including your pastor, have lost tune with what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in our lives and in our world. God led me to this scripture the other day. I was praying, and I didn't know how I was going to use it or what was going to transpire. The one I just read, he gave me a while ago. But in Luke chapter 12, verse 54, I've read it. I know I've read it probably 100 times, but it never jumped out at me like it did the other day. And the word says in verse 54 says, Jesus is talking, and this is the Jesus is talking to all the people, the disciples. It is the my mind won't click this morning. Beatitudes, and he is talking to his people. And in verse 54, he says, "Then he also said to the multitude, 'Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather, and there it is.' Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it you do not discern the time?" Discern means to figure out, to understand. Think about it. If you go to the doctor in the morning, and the doctor tells you to go to the pharmacist and get some medicine, you're going to go do it. And you're going to do everything that that doctor tells you to do. Why? To keep from being sicker. If you go to the, just say, Discount Tire, and you go in there and you have a flat, and they look at your tires, and they come back out there and they say, "You know, you really need a new set of tires because the thread on them is here, and you need to think about getting a new set of tires." What are you probably going to do? You're probably going to get a new set of tires. Why? To keep you from having a flat and being broke down on the side of the highway. If you turn on the weather tonight, and just think a couple weeks ago, we were 70-something degrees, and about a week before that Christmas freeze came, the weatherman was saying you need to protect your plants, you need to protect your water, you need to take all these precautions because it's going to get below freezing and stay that way. What did we do? Every one of us went outside. If we got a well, you made sure it was wrapped. You made sure it was a light in it. You wrapped all your outside faucets. Some of us cut the water off and drained them. We done all these things. Why? To keep us from having severe damage during the freeze. Some of you that had gardens, I didn't even think about it. I had a garden that was real pretty, but it looks like somebody poured gas on it. Now it's gone. I didn't take precaution to do that. God is telling us in his word right here, he says, look, and this is what he's saying. I understood it, but it never has jumped out at me. And it was just as plain as day. He said, Luke 12, verse 54. And I read it, and it says, whenever you see a cloud rising, think about it. In the summertime, you're sitting out there drinking your iced tea by your swimming pool or sitting on the front porch and cooling it, and all of a sudden you see this black cloud rise up. Do you just sit there and let the thunder and the lightning and everything come in on you? You do something about it, don't you? Get in the house. You seek shelter. God is telling us in his word, people, and you go to Matthew 24. I'm going to spare you that this morning. You go to Matthew 24 and read it. It says, the disciples asked Jesus, what are the signs of the times? And Jesus says there's going to be all kind of bad things going to happen. There's going to be earthquakes. He says, don't let anyone deceive you. There's going to be famines. There's going to be pestilence. I'm not going back into that. We know what that is. Grocery shortages, high prices. All these things are going to happen. And you know what? God is telling us that. And we're sitting here like, okay. You understand what I'm saying this morning? God is saying, get ready. Because it's going to end. And I'm not necessarily talking about the end of times. I'm talking about things that happen in our lives and things around this United States of America that we live in and in this world that we live in that point to exactly what Jesus Christ said. But these, you know, like I said, the norther comes, we get prepared. The rain clouds come, we get prepared. A hurricane gets out in the the Gulf and it comes toward Galveston. What do? We all get prepared. We evacuate. We take every precaution there is to take care of the situation to keep from getting everything destroyed and our lives lost because of this hurricane. Jesus Christ tells us in His Word that if we do not accept Him as our Lord and Savior and we don't put our faith and our love and our trust and our hope in Him and tell our children and our grandchildren and everybody we know that a storm is coming and it is going to take our lives. But we sit here like, I've heard that all my life. We've heard it all our life. I've heard it all my life. But I know that it's going to happen. And what are we doing? That's the point. God has put in my brain the whole Christmas holidays that I was laying in the bed sick and everything. But I cannot figure out why we don't understand. I mean, just think the simplest thing can happen. Why do you wash your car? Why do you change the oil in your car? Why do you do all it? Why do you eat? Why do we have to eat? Why do we have to drink water? To live. God is talking about total destruction of this world, total destruction of everything in it, total destruction of our lives. If we know Him, we're okay. We're going to heaven. But if we don't know Him, if you haven't taken that step, you need to take it. And we need to take it seriously because it's coming. It may not be like, you may go home and turn on the news and say there's going to be a freeze and that's coming next weekend. Same motion we'll go through. We'll get ready. Everybody will get ready. You can't find... I went down to the Walker County Hardware. First one went to Walmart, Lowe's. You couldn't find nothing to wrap a pipe with in Huntsville, Texas. It'd be wonderful if you went into a bookstore and you couldn't find a Bible because people were buying the Bible, buying God's Word to study and get ready and know Him and be prepared for His coming. But we take, and that's exactly what Christ is saying. He said, and remember, Jesus is talking to the people, the multitude of people. And He said, then He also said, the multitude, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately say a shower is coming. Don't we say that? Isn't that what we do? I mean, you might say, what is He coming with this for New Year's? Because people, this is New Year's Day, and this is a day that the Lord has made, and He has given us another year. He has given us another day. He has given us another church service. He has given us another opportunity to praise Him. What do we do? Try to. Do y'all understand what I'm saying this morning? What about? That's why I asked you parents. Everybody in here is a parent just about. If they come with one of these freezes and stuff, do you just take care of yourself? Do you just wrap your pipe and say, or do you help others? Everybody helps everybody during times like this. Did you call your kids and tell them that y'all better wrap your pipes, you know? This freeze is coming. Didn't you? I did. I told my his house that's off the ground. I said, you better make sure everything in there is wrapped up. Well, people, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is going to come one day. Have we told our children and our grandchildren that they need to be ready? Because, believe me, when He gets through on this earth, there is not, I mean, if you don't know Him, you're in trouble. And He says, again, when you see the clouds coming, you run and you hide and you get shelter. You seek shelter. You do this, you do that, you do everything to take care of it. But Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth, whether He comes in the rapture, whether you walk out the door and fall dead, you're going to meet Jesus Christ. And the problem is, he is trying to tell us to get ready, and he's talking to this multitude of people. He's told the Beatitudes. He's told them all about everything. And he gets right down to chapter 13, and he says, repent or perish. Have you repented? Have you made plans? And not only, you see, here's what I think a lot of us do. I said a while ago, we wrap our pipes, we drain, we take care of the oil in our car, we take care of antifreeze in our car. Probably people don't know what that is no more. But we take care of everything, but do we take care of others? God said, love everybody. And he said to help everybody, he said to tell people that he is coming. He says in verse 57, let me read 56. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern the times? We need to realize that what kind of world that we live in. We need to look at the signs around us every day. And verse 57 says, yes, and why even of yourself do you not judge what is right? Why can't we tell what is right and what is wrong? I don't know why, Lord, why you put me there? We cannot tell what's right. Now, some of us can. But as a general, the world that we live in don't know right from wrong. They don't care as long as it goes with what they say. Jesus tells us multitude of people. He says, yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go to your adversaries, to your magistrates, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge and the judge deliver you to the officer and the officer throw you into prison. And he's saying again, we hire the highest priced lawyer that we can get. We do everything that we can do to escape the judgment of man and the weather and all the things that's happening, and yet we do not do anything to help our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, the people around us. We don't do anything. Hey, why don't we tell them, hey, it's a storm coming, and it's like one you never saw before. And in this world and in this time that we live in, it is getting worse and worse every day. A friend of mine in Israel that I get a text from or email from every about two times a week sent me one Friday that Israel blew up some stuff in Jordan and they made it back, and now Iran is talking about leveling Tel Aviv. What do you think about that? You see, it gets you. When I said that, you said, what? But we know that Jesus Christ is coming. We know that God sent his son to that cross to die for repentance of our sins and to save us from all of this. Yet we look at the sky. We look at the cold weather. We look at the storms in the Gulf. We check our cars out. We do everything. Yeah. They could come out tomorrow and say, they're shutting all the trucks down. The diesel is gone. $9 a gallon. There's going to be toilet paper shortages, water shortages, food. You couldn't get nothing off the shelf of the grocery store by tomorrow afternoon. Why can't we do the same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ? He is coming. What are we doing to be prepared for his coming, church? Individually, what are we doing? Are we just nonchalantly just take it with stress? It's coming. He says it's coming. And verse 59 says, I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. You are not, whatever you have done in this world, whatever you have done without asking forgiveness, without asking the God to forgive you, you are going to pay for. He said, repent or perish. Verse 13, chapter 13, verse 1 says, there were present at the season some who told him about the Galilean, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. In other words, it don't make any difference who you are. It don't make any difference what you've done. It don't make any difference what you're doing. If you do not repent, if you do not ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you, you're going to die and go to hell. That's the only way I can say it. It can't be said any other way. There's no escaping it. God said, look, and think about what this is simple. I know if I can understand it, you can understand it. It's like what God said. He said, and basically he's saying, trying to think of something that I used to do when I was a kid that could illustrate what God is telling us, his children. He's just telling us, look, you do all of these other things. You know, I had a big garden this year, and I went deer hunting this year, and the deer attacked me. I had to buy a new deep freeze. I mean, I'll put that meat and stuff up, but you know what? Ain't none of that going to help me when the Lord calls on my soul. Nothing. It ain't going to help me. The only thing that's going to help me is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He said, repent. Repent or perish. Perish means be destroyed, to suffer. Remember the rich man Lazarus. But again, back to the simple word that God gave me. We can look up in the sky and we can see the sun going down and we say, night's coming. We can get up early in the morning and sitting on deer stand and we'll see the sun come up. It's fixing to get daylight. The weatherman, we can turn on the TV and he says it's going to be 105. Check all the air conditioning filters. Make sure the air conditioning got plenty of free on it. It's going to freeze next week. Drain all the water. We do all of these things. We put up vegetables. We put up produce. During the coronavirus deal, you couldn't get toilet paper. People was getting all the toilet paper they could get because it was getting short of it. Right now, flu vaccines and antibiotics and stuff are short all over this world. People, God is saying to us this morning, hey, you can do all of these things and it's simple. And what my word is simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Repent or perish. He said, if you know him, then you will not perish. But if you don't know him, and how many of us really know him? So that's what he keeps telling me. When he told me, I sat on my daughter's patio down there the other day trying to get warm or cold or something. But anyway, he said, Luke 12. And I read this and I read it and I read it. And so that's simple. It's simple, isn't it? What are you doing about it? That was the next thing. What are you doing about it? It's real simple. Yeah. It's God's word is simple. The gospel in 5 seconds. God sent his son, Jesus. Jesus died on that cross. Jesus went to that tomb. While he was in that tomb, he went to the Old Testament people and he took care of all them. He arose from that grave. He walked among 500 people. He ate with them. And then he ascended into heaven. And even the same disciples that were with him on that day stood there gazing into heaven. And God had to send an angel to say, "You men of Galilee, what are you doing? Staring." The same Jesus that ascended is going to come back one day. The question God wants to know this morning from me, from you, from all of us, from Oakhurst Full Gospel Church, what are you doing about it? We can look in the sky, see the storm coming. What are you doing? I just read in Timothy. And if you cannot understand what the Lord is saying to us in Timothy, I'm going to find it. The devil don't want me to find it, but I'm going to find it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you cannot understand what he is saying, if you cannot line that up with what is going on today, then you got a problem. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. That means food shortages, disease, famine, pestilence, insects. Bad times are going to come. Is any of that around us right now? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unhelpful. Does that describe anything that's going on right now? I mean, think about it. And God said, you look at the clouds and you see the rain coming, but I tell you this and you don't even believe it. Oh, we love money. But when you take your last breath, ain't gonna mean nothing. I sat with a lady about 6 weeks ago, and ICU waiting room at Conroe Hospital. Her husband passed away yesterday. He had a lot of money. Owned a lot of stuff. But this morning, don't count. Only one thing counts. Do you know Jesus? People love money. Love to boast. Love to look at this, you know. I know some people that's so boastful that you can tell them I got a 30-30 Winchester, model 94. I got one too, but it's got a gold trigger. Yeah. Boasters, proud, disobedient. I bet there was enough alcohol drank last night to sink his church house. Unthankful. They don't care. Wake up in the morning, and I like that song that old Johnny Cash sung about Sunday morning. And he woke up and he opened that can of hot beer and he drank it, and then he opened another for his breakfast, you know. There's a lot of that going on this morning. Headaches. Unthankful that God that created all this, the baby that we talked about in the manger for the last 3 weeks, that he told us that all these things are going to happen, and if we don't pay attention, unloving, ungiving, without self-control, that talks about me a lot. Sometimes I'm driving down the highway. Despisers of good, traitors, People will sell a mama and daddy to get ahead in the day and time we live in. Don't make no difference. You see, I can go on and on and on with this, but what I'm trying, what God is trying to tell you this morning is, you see the clouds, you see the wind, you see the rain, you see all these happening. The rain is, to me, in the cold. It's raining, you get under something to keep from getting wet. It's freezing, you get somewhere where it's warm. And all God is telling us, I want y'all to get with me where that when all this takes place, that I can take you home. Amen. That's all he wants. And so, ask yourself this question and go back. Read 2 Timothy chapter 3. Read Matthew 24. Read in Revelation. Read in Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all the prophecies. Read about, and see if God is not telling us the same thing. But we got to be ready. And you know what? I don't want to fail to say this. Jesus loved you enough. And God loved you enough to send his son Jesus that cross. And all he said, one of my favorite verses, y'all hear it a lot, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whoever, don't make any difference who you are, don't make any difference where you've been, don't make any difference what you've done, but he said, whoever believes in me shall be saved. That's it. That's the whole thing. It don't make any difference what you've done yesterday. None of that has anything to do with it. It don't make any difference how much money you got, how much you don't have. It don't make any. What makes the difference is, do you know Jesus Christ? Romans 10:9-10 says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that he is God and you shall be saved. I can't say anything. That's it. Do you know him this morning? As Ruth comes to the piano, do you know him? Let's stand and let's pray. Father God, your message is so simple. We can see everything else. And God, we have your word telling us about you. And Father, we have witnesses through generation after generation after generation that people that were present that you inspired to write this whole book. And God, we see things happening all around us. God, just help each and every one of us to first look at our lives this year. And God, draw a circle around our lives and look in that circle at what we can correct. And God, help us all to throw lifeline, to tell people about you, Jesus, that's perishing, that's God, that's just living like there's no tomorrow. God, we know that there is a tomorrow. We know that you hold tomorrow. God, I pray right now. If there's one in here that doesn't know you, if there's a Christian that just needs to get on their knees this morning, God, that we get the simple message, Father, that you're also coming. And that it is most important that we take care of your business more than anything else, because, God, you told us that if we seek you first, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all these things will be added if we put you first. Oh God, I pray right now, if there's one here that doesn't know you, maybe there's a Christian here, God, that maybe this simple message from you has opened up their eyes, God, that we need to get ready, that we need to be prepared, that we need to prepare others. God, I turn this service over to you. And Father, I love you and I honor you and I cherish you. And God, I just pray that your word would not fall on deaf ears, Lord God, that we would hear it and do it. In your precious name we pray. Amen.